Invite your attention, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, where we'll start this morning. We're going to actually cover chapter 9, verse 24 through about 10 and 12 or 13. We're not going to do all that reading, but they're just so closely, they're related. And so we're going to be referring to chapters, the end of chapter 9 and the beginning of chapter 10 today as we continue our study. In this book of 1 Corinthians this morning, we're looking at the race. We're called to be in the race. Will you stand with me as we read from the precious and holy Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not do it to obtain a perishable crown." "Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Joe Hogg, would you word our prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right. This morning, we're, of course, going to talk about racing. How many love to run? There are a few. I think I've shared this with you before, but about the only way you get me to run is if a bear is chasing me. You know, I like to get out and get my exercise and walk and things, but you know, running just never was my sport, probably because I'm not very fast. And but in this text that we've read, Paul is likening the Christian life to a race. Now, we are in that race, and it has nothing to do with a physical run. It's a spiritual run. As a matter of fact, Paul said, and I like the way he puts it, those who run in the race all run. You know what that means? That means everybody in the race runs, right? That's the idea. If you're in the race, you got to run. Some run faster than others, some try harder than others, but everyone runs. And now while we're talking about, I want to just turn your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to read the first five verses there, and we're going to take a look at people who are in the race. And he's talking about the children of Israel, how that, all the children of Israel came out of Egyptian captivity. But God was not pleased with all the children of Israel. Verse 1 of chapter 10 says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now get this, he just built the case where everybody who came out of Egypt, they're all in the race, right? But we get to verse 5 and he says, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." What's he talking about? Well, they all came out of Egypt. They all followed Moses. They were all led by the same cloud. They were all fed with the same spiritual food, exposed to the same things. But the whole generation wind up dying in the wilderness because God was not pleased with them. As a matter of fact, there were only two that came out of that 40-year stretch of wandering in the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb, right? Something set those two guys apart. The rest of them basically wasted their life wandering in the wilderness, waiting to die. You see, the problem was that there were only two of that group who were in it to win it. And that's the idea of racing. Listen, I said I never was a fan of running, but if I'm running to win. How about you? Okay? That's Paul's point here. The problem with the children of Israel was that 40 years, or right after they got out of the land of Egypt, or was released from slavery, they go over, they receive the law, and then God shows them the land that he had promised them. And the problem with that was, out of all the spies, they sent in 12 spies. 10 of the 12 come back and says, "Oh, we can't do that. We can't take these. They are giants in that land. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. We cannot do this." But then there was Joshua and Caleb, right? They said, "Let's go. Let's go get them. God's given us this land. God has placed this land within our care." There were two that knew that they were in the race. The rest of them did not have a clue. There were two that knew there was a finish line. The rest of them did not have a clue. And that's what I want you to challenge you with today. You see, Christianity for so many people is a hobby. It's a hobby. Let's go to church every once in a while. Let's read the Bible every once in a while. Let's act like we're supposed to act every once in a while, right? But then, the idea of a life commitment, the idea of a lifelong walk with Jesus, they just don't get that part. And so ultimately, they dabble in religion, but it never makes a profound change in their life because they don't understand the concept that one of these days, there is a finish line. Do you realize this life is not going to last forever? Isn't that awesome? It really is, because if this life is all there is, we're in trouble, you know? One of these days, we're going to reach that finish line. One of these days, we're going to stand before the Lord. And when we reach that point, what are we going to hear? "You blew that." Or, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, that's what happened to the children of Israel. They just blew it. They just blew it. And, which brings us to the next point, how to lose the race. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 says, they went through the wilderness, or the first five verses, we're talking about all the children of Israel going through the wilderness, and God with many was not pleased. And then verse 6 tells us, "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." What is it talking about? These things became our examples. Examples of what not to do. Okay? Have you ever saw someone and say, "Boy, I don't want to turn out like them"? That's what Paul is giving us here. The children of Israel who came out of Egyptian captivity all died in the wilderness. Paul is saying, they were our examples. Examples of what not to do. We don't want to turn out like they turned out. So we're going to talk for a minute about how to lose the race. Number one, quit. If you never finish the race, you'll never win the race. Chapter 10 and verse 7 talks about their idolatry. While Moses was on Mount Sinai to receive the law, Israel made themselves a golden calf. They said, "We don't know what's happened to this Moses. So Aaron, make us an idol to worship." And so Aaron, of course, made that. They brought him their earrings and their gold. He put that gold in a big pot. And you know what? A golden calf jumped out. That's what Aaron said. That's literally what he said. You know? "Wasn't my fault. I put all the gold in there and this golden calf jumped out." But the bottom line is this. You know what happened? When they were waiting on Moses, they quit. These were people who have just watched as God parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. And you know what happened? They quit. These are people that they have watched as God brought the nation of Egypt to its knees for their behalf, or on their behalf. And you know what? They just quit. The problem was they quit. And too often today, Christians quit. They decide it's too hard. They decide they don't know what to do next. They, you know, and they quit. I have heard, and one of the saddest things I find today is in talking to people, and I ask them where they go to church. You know, that's just something a preacher has to ask. Where do you go to church? And so many out here, I've not been in church in years. What happened? You quit. You quit. Listen, there is no room for quitters in the race. If you quit, you will never finish. If you quit, you will never accomplish anything. And you will one day stand before God and say, Lord, I quit. Oh, no. No, don't you find yourself there. Quitters will never win. You can compromise. Chapter 1, verse 8, or chapter 10, verse 8, tells of their sexual immorality. And it was referring to Numbers 25, how they took the women of Moab to themselves, and God had warned them, do not intermarry with these other nations. And as they got there, they decided, well, it won't hurt. Oh, listen, I have figured out how important it is to hold true to your standards if you're an athlete. You know, when you're training for a race, you have to eat right. You have to prepare yourself for the race. You have to exercise. And you know what? Have you ever seen one of those big brownies? Andrea and I ate at a restaurant last night, and we ordered one of those big brownies that have ice cream and chocolate fudge, and whoo, it just looked good, right? You know what? If you're training for a race, you can't have stuff like that. You know why? Because it'll weigh you down. You know? You can't compromise your training. You can't compromise who you are. You can't compromise what you are. What the children of Israel did is they got in the land and they saw these foreign women and they compromised who they were. They compromised the instruction of God. Here's the deal. You can't compromise and win a race. If you're serving the Lord, and here's the thing that's so scary today, and listen, I love people. I love other denominations. But the idea that's just sweeping our world today is let's just all get along. It doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you believe in something. Beloved, it does matter what you believe. There is one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ. And there is nothing else that we can afford to compromise on. No. No compromise. Young people, as you grow up, you're going to be placed in those situations where you're going to have to make a decision. Will I or won't I? When you're faced with those decisions, you remember who you are, and you are in the race for the glory of Almighty God. Don't compromise. You'll never win. Third thing, you can complain. I love complainers, don't you? Let's just all raise our hand. Okay, now let me rephrase that. I love to complain, don't you? What is it about complaining? I mean, we're all guilty, right? We're all guilty. Israel got to the point that God's, now imagine this, God is feeding them with manna from heaven. And they got to the point where they literally said, our soul loathes this light bread. No, our soul loathes this worthless bread. Moses, we don't like what you and God are serving. Now imagine this. They didn't have to hunt it. They didn't have to work for it. All they had to do is go out in the morning, pick it up, take it in, prepare it, and eat it. What a deal. But it didn't take them long before they said, our soul loathes this light bread. Oh my goodness. You know what I figured out? I figured out that attitude is a whole lot for the racer. Okay? If he's going to whine and complain, he's probably not going to win a race. Have you ever seen someone interviewed and they say the guy didn't win, and they say, well, what happened? Say, well, everybody else, they got in front of me and they wouldn't let me pass and they were just ugly to me and they go on. They don't say that, do they? What do they say? Well, I lost. I didn't run fast enough. Yeah. And in the course of the Christian race, how easy it is for us to back up and whine and complain about why we don't do those things we should be doing. I'm not in church anymore. Why? Because the deacons of that church hurt my feelings. Well, get over it. You know? I don't go to church anymore because it's full of hypocrites. Well, what do you think you are? You know? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I have figured out if I spend my time whining and complaining about how bad things are, pretty soon I start to believe how bad things are. And let me tell you something. We have it good today in this country. We are blessed to be Americans. Sometimes I complain about our government. I really had to work with this. And I don't agree with everything our government does, but listen. We are blessed to live in a democracy. At least at this point, we still have our freedoms to live as we choose and to worship as we choose. Listen, attitude's everything in the Christian race. Nobody wants to be around this guy that's always sour, that's always complaining. If you ever, and grab hold of this, if you see people begin to avoid you, it's probably because you're a whiner. Nobody likes a whiner. Right? Now, we all from time to time, and I'm not talking about, we all from time to time have our problems, okay? And it's good to share our problems. But if every time you talk to somebody, you're sharing a problem, you're a whiner, okay? You're one of these complainers. And you're never going to get anywhere making excuses and complaining in the race of Christianity. We go on. Conceit. Children of Israel, number 16, they rose up against the leadership of Moses and Aaron. They said, who do you think we are? You are. We're as good as you are. And you know, I want you to notice here in the last verse, it gives this list. In verse 27, it says, I myself, the last line, should become disqualified. You know what happens? You see, there are rules in a race. You break the rules, what happens? You become disqualified. I want you to consider the consequences. Israel, because of their lack of self-control, because of their unwillingness to be in the race, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Their life became waiting to die. They had no purpose, no value, no victory. You know what happened? What literally happened was they became disqualified. They never saw the blessings that God had prepared for them. Here's my question. What are we missing today? Because we're disqualifying ourselves through complaining, through conceit, through compromise, through quitting. What are we missing? Do you realize that that entire nation, that entire generation never saw the promised land? You know what they missed? Today, consider the consequences. Consider the importance of the race. And then we're going to move on here on how to win. You want to know how to win? We begin in verse 25. It says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That word temperate means self-controlled. You are responsible for you. Okay? Now I want you to grab a hold of that. You are responsible for you. Can you say amen to that? You are responsible for the decisions you make. You are responsible for the life that you live. This whole deal about my life today is my parents' fault, that's baloney. Okay? Baloney is a Greek word used from way back in Paul's day. Okay. No. My mama didn't love me. Well, I'm sorry your mama didn't love you, but this is your life you're living. Okay? My daddy didn't do something. I'm sorry your daddy didn't do, but this is your life. You are the one that makes decisions. You are the one that commits your life to the Lord. You are the one that will exercise self-control and discipline in your life, which brings us to the second thing that Paul said. First thing, if you're going to race, everyone who races has to be temperate. You have to exercise self-control, and you have to discipline your body. Paul said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. That word discipline means literally to beat black and blue. Paul's not talking about hitting yourself in the face. He's not talking about beating yourself with a bat. What he's talking about is bringing yourself, fighting the fight and bringing who you are under your control. Because what you are and who you are is your decision. Okay? You decide whether you're going to be faithful to the Lord. You decide if whether you're going to be a blessing in the lives of other people. You decide whether you're going to be saved or lost. You decide. It's all in your control. And you decide, my friends, if you're going to serve. Now, I said this part, we're going to talk about how to win. First way to win, number one, in the race. is to press forward even when it hurts. I told you I didn't like to run because running hurts me. Does it hurt you? Does it hurt anybody else? I've figured out, that if you're going to run, you've got to run through the hurt. Listen, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to learn how to be a Christian through the hurt also. Because there are times that it gets tough. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about there? He keeps pressing forward no matter what. That's what we have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Times are tough. Keep pressing forward. It's getting hard to serve. Keep pressing forward. People are fighting against you. Keep pressing forward. Satan's giving you trouble. Keep pressing forward. Keep your eye on the finish line. Press ahead or you'll never win. Second thing, you've got to have pace. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 12. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Here's the deal. It's not about what you used to do. It's about what you're doing now. Are you with me? I've heard people time and time again talk about, well, back years ago we were... No, what are we doing now? You see, here's the thing. The race is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Did you get that? J.C. James made that statement to me years ago. He said, brother, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You see, you got to minister when you're 40, and you got to be able to still minister when you're 70. Because preaching is a marathon. It goes on. Well, it's not just preaching. The Christian life. There's nothing sweeter than to see one of the old saints of God, as they mature in their senior years, who are still faithful in church attendance, faithful in their prayer, faithful in their Bible study. It's a marathon. That's where you want to go. You don't want to sprint today and be done tomorrow. You want to keep going. You don't want to take the shortcuts. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Yes, it's tough. Yes, it gets hard. But you got to stay the course, and you've got to run with certainty. Paul said in verse 26, I run not with uncertainty. If I'm running, there's got to be a reason I'm running. If you see me running, look behind me. Because you know Brother Doug's not going to be running unless something's chasing him, right? There's a purpose. I'm getting away from something or someone, right? The same idea is the Christian life. Listen, it's not just something you dabble in. It's not just something, well, we come to church and call that good. You run with a purpose. The purpose being bringing as many people to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. Okay? That's our purpose. Paul said, I run with that goal in mind. I box, not as beating the air. Have you ever seen somebody shadow box? Have you ever seen anybody win a shadow boxing match? No, there's not an opponent. Get up here and Muhammad Ali, you remember him? Boy, he was the best trash talker ever was. He'd get up and dance around, you know, but he never won a fight until he got in the ring and got in the fight. Paul, the same concept. He could talk. He wasn't about talking a good game. He was about being stoned, and after he'd been stoned, getting up and preaching some more. He was about preaching till they threw him into prison and beat him and threw him into prison. And then, bloody and hurt and wounded at midnight, you find him singing praises to the Lord. How can someone be that dedicated? Because they're running with certainty. They know where they're going. They've established their goals. When's the last time you had a major victory in the Lord? This is a question I asked myself as I was preparing, and I got to thinking, and you know what? I got to thinking, well, it's too long for me. You see, the reason we don't see those major victories oftentimes is because we're not trying to accomplish anything. You know? There's no goal. There's no course. There's no finish line. Paul, he had a goal. He had a reason for everything that he did. Which brings us to the final point. Why run? Why even do it? Well, the first reason is because the reward of the rat race. You know when I say rat race what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about making both ends meet in the middle. I'm talking about going to work, our daily job, and you know, fighting the daily battles of life. That's the rat race. It doesn't, you know, most of the time, well, the reward of that is very limited. See, in this, when Paul said the runners in a real race run for a crown that is perishable, their crown that they would get for winning the race was a crown of leaves. The thing is, a week later, a crown of leaves would wilt, and you wouldn't have nothing. You wouldn't have anything left. That's the idea Paul's presenting here. When all our life is about the world and the race that we do to get ahead and to make both ends meet in the middle and to pay our bills, oh, we're missing the real reward. We're missing the good stuff. We're missing the eternal reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul said, for we must all, and get grab this, for we must all, that word all, can anybody tell me what that means? That means all. Every child of God, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Here's the thing. The things we've done for God, that glory will last forever. Okay? Those sacrifices that we make on this earth as we run this race, and we stand before the Lord, and we hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." The glory will last forever. Now, if I were to ask you a question, who won the World Series in 1957? There's probably very few people in this congregation that could tell me. I can't tell you. I don't have an idea. You know why? 1957 was a long time ago. What about 1970? 1974? 1979? Do you know, I cannot tell you who won the World Series 3 years ago. You know why? Because it's all past. I can even tell you who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And I watch football. The glory's gone. For the child of God, there is a permanent record. That's why we're told, lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth doth corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. It's going, you know, if you want the glory, you send it ahead. And you send it ahead by your faithfulness in the Christian race of this life. Are you running? If you're running, you know, like Paul said, everybody's running. But are you doing what it takes to win? Run so that you can win. Run with faithfulness and dedication. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to offer you one other thing. There is a judgment that you're going to have to face. That is the great white throne judgment. If you leave this earth without being saved, without committing your life to Christ, you're also going to stand before God in judgment. Okay? And the book's going to be open. The Lamb's Book of Life's going to be open. And if your name's not written in that Lamb's Book of Life, you'll hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now listen, you may think you're a fine person, and you very well may be a fine person. You may treat your fellow man right. You may give to several charities, and you may do all you can do within your power. But the problem is this. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's them, that's everyone. And you have to deal with the sin problem. The good news is, the Bible says, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shall be saved. You see, Jesus didn't have a sin problem. He came to this earth. He died upon Calvary to take your punishment. It was about Him taking your punishment. And the Bible says that if you'll call, He'll save you. This invitation's for you. If you need to be saved, I'd ask you, we're going to have a song in just a second, I'd ask you to please come forward. If there's another commitment you need to make, I'll ask you, please come forward in this invitation and do what God lays upon your heart to do. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worship this morning. May we be reminded, Lord, that we are in the race. And may we be faithful in running the race, dedicating our lives and ourselves to you in every aspect. Now, as we do have this invitation, Lord, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.